Well, good morning.
We're going to tell a story for the children's moment, but we decided after all that excitement that they probably wouldn't listen. But I think it's actually something that you'll get something out of and relates to the message this morning. So I'm going to start with that. So I don't know if you know the difference between a barn cat and a house cat, but before I moved to the farm, I did not know there was a difference. The main thing is that a barn cat lives outside and a house cat lives inside. That makes sense, I guess. What I didn't know is that sometimes a barn cat decides they want to be a house cat, and they will do anything they can to sneak into your house. So we have a cat named Lemur who has done this very thing. A few months ago, she started to, when someone would open the door, she would just sneak right in past our feet, like quick as a wink. You couldn't even see her. She was already in the house. And for the first while, we would pick her up and we'd throw her outside and shut the door and keep her out. But then, you know, once in a while she'd crawl on top of us and start purring, and so people kept her in a little bit longer. And then our dog died in the fall, and people kind of missed having an inside pet, so she got to stay in a little bit longer than that. And pretty soon, she's living half-time anyways in the house. And then when she found out it was so nice, she told her friend MJ that it was really nice in the house. And MJ started sneaking in as well. So the reason I tell you that is because a pastor I met this week actually made a really powerful connection for me between those barn cats and sin. Because sin is like those barn cats. It looks for a way to sneak in a way you're not really going to notice, and just make itself at home or hide for a while, and then it just becomes more and more comfortable in your life, becomes more and more something that you don't really notice is there or start to accept as something maybe even good in your life. So I'd like you to kind of keep that story in mind as we head into this passage today. So today I am going to speak from Matthew 5, verse 21 to 37. And this passage I'm going to approach today as a winter tune-up. So most people here have a car or have had a car at some point. And in Saskatchewan, we know our winters can be pretty harsh. And it's a good idea to get a tune-up before winter starts, or you may need to do it partway into winter. One garage advertisement that I read included things like a battery check, engine coolant and antifreeze check, oil and fuel filter checks, and especially checking your tires for tread, or maybe putting on some new tires, some winter tires, to make sure that you can stop on the ice. Now, can you make it through the winter without this check on your car? Possibly. You may make it through without any problems at all, or you could end up on the side of the highway with a blown tire or with no heat and your windows fogged over. I know I have experienced at least one of those things. So the Word of God can work like the mechanics checklist in this winter tune-up. And the warning lights on our dash can be a reminder, if we forget to get the checkup, that we should really pay attention to what's going on. So I think I can safely say I know most of you at least somewhat, and I can see that, you know, your desire is to do what is right, to follow God, to please God. I hear that in what you do. I see that in what I hear that in what you say, and see that in what you do. But every once in a while, it's a good idea to do a little tune-up. And so today, there's a few checklist items that Jesus has brought forth in this passage. The first checklist item is do not murder. Now, that seems like a pretty easy one to start with. Most of us have probably not committed murder. If you have, you understand that it's not right. But Jesus says there is a warning light coming on, and the code for that warning light is anger. So I'd like you to just think for a moment, what signs of anger might you have in your life? If there's often in a car, like I said, you know, you might have something rattling or smoke coming out of somewhere. Those are the signs of that. Signs in our life of anger may be things like broken relationships, maybe insults in our head, I know it often starts that way. I'm sure none of you have ever done this, but once in a while I call people names when they cut me off in traffic. And, you know, those little things that just sneak in, right, and let our frustrations maybe come out in that way. But Jesus says that insulting others in our mind or out loud can lead to name-calling. And if you end up name-calling the wrong person, you could end up in a fist fight or end up in front of a court or even having jail time. Now, Jesus, of course, in this passage uses hyperbole or exaggeration and takes it to the very extreme. But I think if we, you know, most cases of murder started probably fairly innocently back sometime in life when that anger just built up. So God's desire is that we treat each other with respect and we don't seek revenge. So I wonder if you could think about what is feeding your thoughts. Maybe it's time to give yourself an anger tune-up. The second checklist item that Jesus brings up is do not commit adultery. Again, I think this is something that people are fairly familiar with. Most people would agree that that is not the ideal. There is a warning light, though, that Jesus has reminded us of, and that is lust or coveting. Now, some of those signs can be adulterous thoughts. They can sneak in, you know, as easy as, well, that person has a really nice husband who listens to them very carefully. I wonder what it would be like to be married to them. Or, that woman is beautiful. I wonder what that would be like to be with her. It's those beginning thoughts are not the problem. The problem is if we let those thoughts grow and move in. In our society, pornography used to be really more difficult. You'd have to go into a store with blacked out windows. You'd have to, you know, go in, make the purchase. There was some shame or some, you know, sneaking that might be involved in that. Today, that is no longer the case. It's on our phones, it's on our computers, it's on our TVs. It shows up when you're not looking for it. And that's the scary thing, like my cat, right? It just sneaks in. Kids have been looking up assignments for school, and it pops up on their screen, and they are not looking for it. But it plants that seed, that picture in their mind. And that seed could continue on. I would really encourage you to pray for our young people, because this is so prevalent in everything that they do. You're watching YouTube and something comes up there. So keep them in mind. However, I would say that it doesn't just stick with our young people. If you listened to the news last night, the mayor of Toronto was caught in adultery and has decided to step down from his post. And he went into politics saying he was going to be a man of integrity and he was going to do what was right and not cause issues. And I'm sure it started out the same thing. It started out very innocently. But it blew up into something much bigger and much more hurtful. The consequence of not paying attention to that warning sign of lust is broken relationships and marriages, broken trust, divorce, and lack of intimacy with your partner. Maybe it's time for an eye tune-up. I wonder if it would be so easy to watch pornography or fantasize in our minds if we first thought of that person as somebody's daughter or sister, wondered about their dreams, their plans, their fears, and their hopes, thought about the damage that a broken relationship would have on their family and ours. Would it be so easy to use them for our pleasure? The third checklist item that Jesus mentions is integrity. And I think integrity is a noun, and it means firm adherence to a code of moral values. Another synonym is incorruptible. So a warning light that comes on, the code for that one is, are you trustworthy? Are you making excuses for your behavior? Some signs of that might be to prove your word. The consequence of not taking care of that can be broken relationships, a poor reputation, and broken trust. Now, sometimes we are not able to keep up something that we have promised. So I think this Christmas, of all those people who had planned to go on those nice warm trips and then Sunwing canceled all the flights, I bet you there were some children who were very upset with their parents and said to them, but you promised we were going to go someplace hot, and you promised we were going to have a vacation. So does that mean the parents didn't have integrity? No, I wouldn't say that for sure. It was out of their control. But it does depend on maybe how they handled that. So if they took a moment to talk to those children, or if they just reacted to the children and said, well, I'm mad too, and there's nothing we can do about it, so just sit down and forget about it. We're going to have to make the best of Christmas. I don't believe that's building integrity. However, if the parents sat down and said, you know what, I agree, I'm really disappointed too, and I understand this is not what we want, but maybe we can plan for another time, and use that to have a conversation with the children about how sometimes things don't work out. By doing that, we are building integrity into ourselves and into our children. Now, in Jesus' day, certain teachers were manipulating God's word. And when they read a challenging law, they reduced it to something manageable. So when they heard, love your neighbor as yourself, they just redefined neighbor so that it didn't include everybody. They refrained from adultery, but they claimed the right to divorce freely and then take another woman. Some said that a man could divorce his wife in whom he found anything unseemly, indecent, or disturbing. And they defined this as anything from a wart to talking too much. It's really easy to start making excuses. They also concocted a system that defeated the purpose of oaths. They taught that oaths might or might not be binding depending on how one swore. So, if one swore by Jerusalem, it was not binding. But if one swore toward Jerusalem, then it was binding. If one swore by the temple, it was not binding. But if one swore by the temple gold, it was. I think you get the idea. It was a ridiculous set of rules that nobody could follow, or you could just make up whatever you wanted to get out of it. So let's do an integrity checkup. Have you thought through what you are promising or committing to do? Can you do it? Is it within your power to do so? If it is, don't just say a bunch of words to show how serious you are. Just take action. Be trustworthy. Jesus has very high standards. Holiness, perfection, nothing less than what was planned from the moment of creation, before sin entered the world. Sin is waiting for any chance it can to sneak in. It finds a small vulnerability and wiggles in. And once in, it knows how to come back, just like those barn cats of mine, Lemur and MJ. Those sins will soon become a permanent house guest, unless you take drastic measures to make sure that they cannot get back in. We need to be in constant communication with the Spirit and accountable to other people so that sin cannot sneak in and make itself at home, lying on your lap and purring so that you are lulled to thinking it was always there and you need it. We have less than 2 weeks before Lent begins, so I encourage you to take a moment to do a heart tune-up to prepare yourself for that time. God's word offers us a choice between life and death, blessings and curses. God wants to bless us. And we can take this opportunity before Lent to peel the black tape off of the warning light and consider what opportunities our heavenly mechanic is providing by doing a tune-up with us today.